I don't know about you, but sometimes I need reminders to just to remember what it is that I'm about and what it is that's most important in my life and in my spiritual life. I try to keep that in front of me, but again, if you're like me, sometimes you just find yourself getting on sort of autopilot and just going through the routine and doing the things that you normally do without really thinking about whether you're really devoting yourself to the things that matter most. Within the last week, I had some things that helped remind me of that. One was just going to Saskatchewan and teaching a short course, which I had never taught a short course before, Monday through Friday, 5-6 hours a day. And my voice is indicating that I did that. But it was a great experience. I made some new friends. I strengthened some old friendships. And because of the nature of the course, I was teaching on strategies for evangelism in Canada and just the way I approach it, which is, some people might say, different or off the wall. But anyway, the way I approach it is a little different. But all that came together, the fellowship with new people that I hadn't met before, the teaching of this material, which had a way of reminding me of the material and the priorities. All of that has really came together to have an impact on me this week as far as thinking about what I know what I say I believe, but how's this all stacking up in the way I'm living? But there was another incident. When I was flying out there, I spent 4 hours between Toronto and Calgary. Of course, the quickest way to get to Regina is by way of Calgary. But anyway, 4 hours flying to Calgary, and I spent 4 hours next to a delightful Chinese gentleman. I know no Chinese, and he knows very little English. And so what I learned about him in 4 hours, and he learned less about me, but in 4 hours I learned he was 70, his wife was 68, they were visiting Canada from Shanghai. I think he has relatives here, but I'm not totally sure about that. That was one of the breakdowns in communication. With the aid of a book, an English-Chinese guide to Canada, I know that he visited Ottawa, Toronto. He was on his way to Calgary. What he was really excited about was Banff, which is pretty exciting, I understand. I've never been there. And then he was going to Victoria and Vancouver. He learned the English that he knows at age 16. At the end of the trip, I said, I hope you enjoy your trip. He had no idea what it was I had just said. I tried rewording it, and he still didn't have any idea what I was saying. And so I just touched him on the shoulder. And as we were leaving, he said, goodbye. I said, goodbye. I figured he understood that. And smiles communicate. And I was thinking and talking to him. I desperately wished that I had had a tract that a friend of mine wrote years ago in English and Chinese. Now, I don't suppose I can just carry those around with me waiting for somebody from China to give it to. But I wished I had had that with me. And I thought, you know, what if he wasn't just visiting? What if he wasn't just visiting here? What if he was immigrating here? There would still be the language issues. He would still be the, what appeared very much to me, the gentle, kindly soul that I had interacted with him. And all of that just had a way of reminding me that, maybe you have felt the same thing, I want my life to count for something. Doesn't have to be headlines somewhere. But just to have known that living made a difference in the world. I can relate to Thomas Kelly praying, Lord, make my life a miracle. Yeah, I'd like that. And so this morning, I'd like to spend some time just talking about three basic commitments of the Christian life that are commitments all of us make just by being Christians. And kind of reminding us, reminding myself and reminding us of those commitments and giving some ideas about how to go forward in those. We're almost in the midpoint of the year, not quite, but we're almost in the midpoint of the year, so it might be a good time for reevaluation. First commitment, to build a stronger, deeper, more vibrant relationship with God. Hebrews 11:6 says that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Are we earnestly seeking Him? Or have we gotten to a place where we take Him for granted? He's there. He's always been there. I come to worship, but am I really seeking Him? In Psalm 16, verse 11, the psalmist wrote, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Isn't that a great verse? The psalmist speaks of how God has made the path of life known to him. This is what God has given him. And because of that, God has filled him with joy in the presence of God. I think about Thomas Oden writing the first of his three volumes on of biblical theology, and beginning in the introduction with a line that speaks of the quiet joy of the contemplation of God. The psalmist speaks of the joy that comes in the presence of God. In one sense, and it's absolutely true, God is always with us. I mean, He's always around us. He fills the earth. In one sense, He's always with us, but at the same time, sometimes we're conscious of His presence, and very often we're not conscious of His presence. But to be conscious of His presence all the time brings joy all the time. So if we work at being conscious always of His of His presence and realize that eternal pleasures come from His strong right hand, that is a that's a precious gift. Later in the Psalms, in Psalm 73, starting with verse 23, the psalmist writes, well, now I'll give the first part of this is the psalmist struggles. One of the things I love about the Psalms is they're so honest. And in the first part of this, the psalmist says to God that he struggles with jealousy. But it's not just any jealousy. He's jealous of the wicked who seem to be getting along so well. And so he speaks of that struggle. And then starting in verse 23, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." What incredible promises come for the people who seek the presence of God and live in that presence. So, I would encourage you to make some goals for the rest of your year. Wherever you are in your relationship to God and wherever you are in strengthening and deepening your relationship to God, I can guarantee you, you can go on beyond that. No matter where we are, we can go beyond where we are. And so, I it can include quite a number of things. I don't know what needs to be most important to you in this. But I would encourage you to set some goals that are beyond where you are now. I mean, some of us need to set a goal to be in worship every week, to be on time, with mind alive to the presence of God, and to be, how should I put it, ready for every assembly. Do you ever find yourself coming to worship but not really being mentally, emotionally, spiritually prepared to come to worship? I mean, this is something I do. I do it every week. I've been doing it ever since I was a small child. It is a habit. It's a good habit. It's a holy habit, but it is a habit. And if I'm not careful, like other habits, I can simply do it without thinking about it, without really being prepared for it. When we come into the presence of God in worship, we need to be physically, emotionally, spiritually prepared for this experience. Martin Luther was said to have commented on a day when he was very, very busy, that he was so busy. He was so busy that he didn't know how he could get through without praying for at least 2 hours. A lot of times prayer is something that sort of gets crowded out in our day, but it ought to be something that really informs our day and gives the power behind our day. And I encourage you, some of your goals may have just to do with your time alone with God. If it's not, if you don't have a regular time alone with God, then I'd encourage you to have a regular time alone with God. If you already have one, but it's maybe a little more sporadic than you'd like, then make a goal to make it regular, preferably daily. If you spend a certain amount of time alone with God, your goal can be simply to increase it. If I get up and read a verse and pray a prayer, and it takes about 5 minutes, and I could stretch that to 10, 15, increase it over the year. If you're reading the Bible on some kind of regular basis, well, if you're not reading the Bible on a regular basis, then the goal simply can be to regularly read, just read. And if you're already reading, you could always increase that time. And also you could make it a goal to every passage you read, find the first thing you will look for is just for God. Because he's there. He's in all the passages. From beginning to end. He's just waiting for us to see him. So we could make it our goal to see God in every passage we read. And to use every passage we read to build our relationship with him. If you... You could also set a goal or goals having to do with your prayer life. I mean, I remember there was a man that I knew, a Christian, who talked about not being able to pray for more than just a few minutes. Jesus sometimes prayed all night. I think we could stretch ourselves a little bit there, maybe. And again, it could be time. Say, I'm going to spend X amount of time. But I suspect the better way is to, instead of just thinking in terms of time, think in terms of things to pray about. And that will stretch your time. For instance, you might make it a goal to pray through the directory, every name in the directory, on some kind of regular basis. You decide. Weekly. Every 2 weeks, once a month, I don't care. But if you made that goal, then that's going to have a way of stretching your prayer life. There are so many needs out there. Needs of people we know, needs of people we don't know. These prayer lists can be just endless. But we could stretch ourselves. I know I can stretch myself to add more and more people to my prayer list. Also, your goal might just be to after you have read or prayed in the morning, to keep coming back to that during the day. I don't know a proper way to set that as a goal, but maybe just make it as a goal that at certain points in the day, you're going to come back to what it was you read or thought about in the morning as your morning was starting out with God. But whatever you do, think in terms of, can I strengthen my commitment to have a strong relationship with God? Second commitment, Make a commitment to a stronger relationship with the body of Christ, that is, fellow Christians. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about us as being part of the body of Christ, and that we have a vital role in it, and that we all have a different role in it. I love that body image, because just like your physical body has different members, you have fingers, you have hands, you have arms, feet, eyes, nose, ears. So the body of Christ has different parts, and we don't all have the same role, and we don't all need to have the same role. In fact, it's important that we don't have the same role, because we need all the parts of the body. Every part of the body is important in its way. It's not just the public gifts. It's not just the upfront gifts here that are important. All gifts of the body, all gifts are important. The very fact that Paul and Peter speaks of them in terms of being gifts, this is God's gift. Not simply to you as an individual to make yourself feel good or look good, but it's a gift to the body of Christ, and it's a gift to the world through us. And whatever gift you have been given, it's important. It may not appear to be important to you, but it is important. And we need all of those gifts. In a sense, you might say, my gift is voice. But try picking up a hammer with your voice. We have different gifts, and whatever gift we have been given is exactly the gift the body needs. God knows best. And so there's no room for jealousy. I wish I had some other gift. There's no room for pride. My gift is better than your gift. God gives them all, and he gives them for his purposes. So I would encourage you to make a greater commitment to be part of this body that is so absolutely vital to us. I use this one image of the body, but Paul also speaks of us as being fellow citizens. He speaks of us as being living stones that are built into a temple, into a house. But it's not just an individual house. We're all part of it. Images over and over again in the New Testament emphasize that we're all in this together. We need each other. God made the church, the people of God, in that way. So set some goals. Your goal might be, you can decide. Your goal might have to do with getting to know somebody else in the congregation, getting to know them better, coming closer to them. You can have a prayer partner. Your goal could be to get into a prayer partner relationship before the end of the year, and that's kind of what you make out of it. But the basic idea of prayer partner is you've got a person or persons that you pray with. Simple. And you can get together and pray for each other. And if you can't get together physically, then call each other on the phone and pray for each other over the phone. That works. And it doesn't matter what the distance is. Make a goal to get together with other members just to be together, not for anything in particular except just to get to know each other and encourage each other. And that could be over coffee. That could be in their house, your house. Just spending time together. You can do that through showing hospitality. Or your goal might have to do with service. God has gifted you in a certain way. How can you use that gift for the good of the body of Christ? Just pick out some area that you have your gift in and exercise it. Again, this doesn't have to be public, and it doesn't have to be an official ministry of the congregation. It's some way that God has gifted you to minister, to serve, to make a difference in other people's lives. Third commitment, make a commitment to follow Jesus and his mission in the world. In Matthew 19, verse 10, Jesus said that he had come to seek and to save the lost. That's what he was all about. That sums it up very nicely. He came into the world to seek and save the lost, and that took him to the cross, which was his ultimate goal for his life in seeking and saving the lost. That through the cross, all people who come to him can be saved. He gave his whole life to seeking and saving the lost. We, as his disciples, should follow him in that same mission. Paul gives some invaluable guidance in this in Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Notice what he says. There are quite a number of things here. He talks about praying and devoting yourselves to prayer, not just kind of praying occasionally, but devoting yourself to it. And he specifically asks for the Colossians to pray for him and his fellow missionaries. Pray for us. What's he want them to pray for? That God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He's in prison, but he's still wanting to preach, still wanting to evangelize. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So, you can your goal might have to do with evangelistic praying, that you will spend a certain amount of your prayers just praying evangelistically, praying for other Christians to be evangelistic, praying for yourself to be evangelistic, praying for lost people that you know. That is extremely powerful, and we all know people who aren't Christians. Are we praying for them? It's important that we pray for them. And you'll notice, connected with that, he talks about an open door for the message. Sometimes we may think people are unreceptive, nobody's listening. Well, then just pray for open doors. But be prepared to step through those doors if you pray for them. Sometimes we may pray for open doors and then be reluctant to step through them when they open. If you pray for open doors, be ready. But lest we think that prayer is just, that evangelism is just something that was for Paul and other preachers, then he says in verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. It takes wisdom to reach people, and so we need to pray for wisdom. And it takes opportunities, but the opportunities don't do much good if we don't use them. Most of us have probably had the experience of having something happen just kind of randomly with a non-Christian, and afterwards we thought, I should have said, I should have done. Most of us have probably had that experience at some point. We probably will continue having that experience, but I believe we can get a lot better at making the most of every opportunity if we think about it ahead of time, trying to keep our minds awake and alive for the possibilities. If we're praying that God will open doors, that he will offer us, he will give us opportunities, we then maybe should also pray that we'll have the wisdom to see them and to know what to do when they come. He goes on to say, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So he's talking about our words. It's not, example is important, but words are important too. In fact, both of them are necessary. And here he's talking about words. Let your conversation be full of grace. It's grace-filled. It's, you might call it winsome or pleasing kind of speech. It's seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The idea is you know how to talk to people and you know how to share We can pray about that. We can prepare ourselves to do that. Your goal might be simply to get to know your non-Christian neighbors better. Your goal might be to invite a certain number of non-Christians to worship in the next year or the next 6 months. It might be to get in a Bible study with a non-Christian. Your goal might be to learn more effectively how to reach people. It might just start with making a goal to spend a certain amount of time praying evangelistically for yourself and other people. I hope in these commitments that we've been talking about that, how should I put it? I know how I originally wrote it down. Maybe I'll go with that wording. I hope God plagues us with the thought that we need to grow in those commitments. I hope he just bugs us, just keeps after us, won't let go, so that we will grow in these things. In the Christian life, our ultimate goal, as I've said before and you'll hear me say again, is simply to become like God in Christ. Our ultimate goal is to look more and more and more like Jesus Christ, who was perfect in all these areas. His commitment to the Heavenly Father was absolute. Absolute to doing the will of God, to knowing the Heavenly Father, to obeying everything the Father had given to him to do, no matter what it was. It was complete. And to be committed to following him means that our commitment needs to imitate his. And his commitment to the body of Christ, well, the body of Christ came because he died. That's why we exist as a group. That commitment was complete, that he would be there for his disciples, and that he would do whatever was necessary, that he would serve and serve to the point of dying. It was absolutely complete. And his commitment to lost people was complete, not because they were so nice or pleasing or easy to get along with, or because they were so receptive, but because they were lost and they needed him. I mean, this week I've been thinking about Jesus touching the untouchables, like lepers. Who wants to touch a leper? I mean, in their world, not only might you get leprosy, I mean, that would be the fear, but also, if you're a Jew, it makes you unclean. And Jesus touched the leper. But he touched other people, touched their eyes, took the little children in his arms. What was he doing? He was showing you love people by touching. But it wasn't just touching. I mean, he had words that reinforced that. And he had sacrificial actions that showed it. I want to be like that. I really want to be like that. I want to love as he loved a whole lot more than I do. How about you? He's the Lord. He is the ultimate standard, the ultimate picture, the ultimate model of what the Creator God always meant that we should be. And so as we come close to the midpoint of the year, I want to encourage you to renew yourself in the commitments that you have made to Christ. Or if you haven't made any commitments to him, I want to encourage you to make the commitments and then follow them out. I really believe that while in one sense the Christian of life is a burden to be to be carried. In another sense, it is a burden that carries us. It is a joy to be in the presence of God and to know the pleasure of God as you live in His presence and serve Him. Would you bow with me for a prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for the wonderful privilege of being Your children, to being in Your body, to being fellow citizens in Your kingdom, to being a temple made by You, indwelt by Your Spirit. Father, we thank You that You loved us so much that Jesus came into the world to express that love by living and dying for us. Father, we ask that You would strengthen our commitment to You and to the people who are all around us. Father, we confess that our commitment to knowing You better and being closer to You isn't always as strong as it should be. And our commitment to our fellow Christians isn't always as strong as it should be. And our commitment to make a difference in the lives of lost people isn't always as strong as it should be. Father, we ask that You will forgive us. You will raise us up. You will give us renewed strength and commitment, and that You will help us to always find joy in Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.